Good morning. It's good to be with you again to share God's word with you. You may be looking around and you might not see as many teenagers as we usually have. That's because they're away on a camping trip this weekend and they should be on their way home today. So as you think about them, please be in prayer that this weekend was a blessing for them to grow in their relationships with each other, but most importantly with God. And continue to pray as they travel back today as well. And I don't know about you, but the past few days have, to me, felt like spring left for a weekend vacation, summer came in to house sit, and now summer's leaving and springtime is coming back. So my kids will ask several times, what season are we in? And it can be confusing. It feels like something that it's not actually what it is. But if you look on the church calendar, we're actually still in the Easter season. Easter is not something that we celebrate, and then when the clock strikes midnight, it's over. Easter is a whole season where we celebrate and remember the resurrection of Jesus. And 3 days after Jesus died, he rose. And when Mary found him or found the tomb empty that morning, Jesus was there with her, but she didn't realize it. She thought he was the gardener. And it wasn't until Jesus said her name, Mary, that she realized who he was and that he had been there the whole time with her. Something similar happened to a couple of disciples that we're going to look at this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to Luke 24, and we're going to read verses 13 through 35 together. And it says this. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Now, the obvious question when reading this passage is how the disciples did not recognize Jesus, who they just spent years following and learning from. All we are left knowing is that they were kept from recognizing him. But it was, in fact, Jesus who appeared to them on the road to Emmaus. He asked them what they were discussing, and they could not believe that he did not know about the events that had just happened. Then they began to explain to him how Jesus was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, and how they had hoped that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. But then he died. However, some of the women in their group found the tomb empty that morning, and when others went to investigate it, they found it just like the women had said. And then at this time, Jesus speaks up, and he begins to explain to them from all of the scriptures, which would have been the Old Testament, how everything points to him and leads to him. And even after that, they still did not recognize him. As they got closer to the village, Jesus was acting like he was going further, but then the disciples urged him to stay with them because it was getting late. And then while he was eating with them, he did something he had done before. He took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, gave it to them. And that was the moment that their eyes were opened. That was the moment they realized who it was that was present among them. Just like Mary recognized Jesus when he said her name, the disciples recognized Jesus when he broke the bread. It wasn't when he first came to them on the road. It wasn't while he was explaining the scriptures to them. It was in the breaking of the bread when their eyes were opened and they recognized him. In verse 35, the NIV says that they recognized him when he broke the bread, but if you read some other translations, they'll say things like he was revealed to them in the breaking of the bread. One focuses more on the timing, and the other one gives more significance to the actual act of breaking the bread. And I think saying things like Jesus was revealed to them in the breaking of the bread gets more at the point that Luke is trying to communicate. Like he did with them previously before he was arrested, now he did with them again after his resurrection. He broke bread, he gave it to them, and in that act, their eyes were open and they recognized him. Now, just like these disciples, we too can sometimes not recognize Jesus. We can go throughout our days and not see him at all. We can come to the end of each day and even wonder where he was. But just like Jesus revealed himself to them in the breaking of the bread, so he reveals himself to us when we break bread together. He reveals himself to us when we partake in communion together so that we can recognize his presence. And so as we prepare to have communion together this morning, I would like to remind us of three ways that Jesus reveals himself to us when we break bread together. Too often we forget about who Jesus really is and everything that he's done for us. We get so busy and caught up in our day-to-day lives that we can't slow down enough to recognize him. We miss him just like the disciples did. But when we celebrate communion together, it's an opportunity for us to slow down and recognize him. It's an opportunity to slow down and remember what he has done. When we slow down and break bread together, the three things that I would like to remind us of this morning is that Jesus reveals himself to us through his presence, through his redemption, and through his body, the church. So first, he reveals himself to us through his presence. The disciples on the road did not know that it was Jesus who was with them until they sat down and had a meal together and broke bread. Their eyes were opened and they realized that Jesus had been with them the whole entire time. When we break bread together, it can also serve as a reminder to us that Jesus has been with us the whole entire time, even if we have not recognized him. The disciples on the road were not doing anything spectacular or out of the ordinary. They were walking and talking. Some of the most ordinary things a person can do. And Jesus was with them. When their eyes were finally opened, it's worth pointing out that it was not through a big, huge event. It was through something ordinary. It was through the ordinariness of bread and sharing it. Jesus is not present with us only when we are doing spiritual things or trying to do big, amazing things for him. He is present with us even in the most ordinary, basic things of our lives. Sometimes we look for Jesus in the big, in the spectacular, in the very, very spiritual things that we do, but then we miss him, and we often don't recognize him with us in the ordinary moments too. Jesus reveals his presence to us in the breaking of bread and reminds us that he has been faithful. And he has been present, not just now, but always, even in the ordinary, mundane, most boring moments of our lives. We wake up, we get ready, we get our kids ready, we take them to school, we go to work, we come home, we make dinner, we clean up, we get the kids bathed, ready for bed, wake up the next morning, do it all over again. It's like the instructions on a shampoo bottle: rinse, wash, repeat. Or if maybe you're a student, you wake up, you get ready, you go to your classes, you do your schoolwork, you have dinner. Hopefully it's more than just ramen noodles. And then you go to bed and you do it all over again. When patterns become routine and habitual, it's easy to do things without thinking about them. And most of the things in our lives are like this. Jesus is with us, even in these things, and we can miss him if we don't stop and slow down. When we celebrate communion together, we recognize his presence and remember his faithfulness and commitment to us, even if we have failed to recognize him. He has been faithful and present with us while we work, while we sleep, while we do laundry, while we do yard work, while we take our kids to numerous sports and events and activities. He is present when we are changing diapers, when we are sick, when our kids are sick, when we're anxious and can't sleep at night. He has been present with us through it all. Or sometimes we are looking for Jesus in everything that we're doing throughout the day, but we just cannot find him. We feel distant, or he feels distant from us. We're struggling to find meaning and purpose in everything that we do, and we are reaching for Jesus, but he just seems out of reach and out of touch. When the disciples finally recognized Jesus among them, what happened next? He immediately disappeared. He was there, and then he was suddenly gone. When you're reading that, you almost feel like Jesus should have given the disciples a little bit of a break there after everything they had been through. The moment they finally realize it's Jesus, he's gone. But just like the disciples, we may sometimes feel like we get a glimpse of Jesus and then he disappears. And we are left wondering where he has gone. Where was Jesus when this happened? Where was Jesus when that was happening over there? We feel like the soil in Jesus' parable, where the cares and the concerns of the world come in and choke out everything else. But Jesus reveals himself to us through his presence as we break bread together, and we are reminded as we hold the bread in our hands that even though it feels like he has vanished from us, he has never left us, and he is within reach. As Paul said in Acts 17, God is not far from any one of us. He is alive and always present with us. Jesus reveals his presence to us as we break bread together. In the breaking of bread, he also reveals himself to us through his redemption. When the two disciples recognized Jesus, everything Jesus explained to them from the scriptures probably made a lot more sense to them. Jesus' sufferings and death were better understood in light of his resurrection. When we break bread together, we remember that his body was broken for us. The night Jesus was arrested, he broke bread with the disciples and said, regarding the bread, "Take and eat, this is my body." Jesus suffered for us. He took the sin of the world upon himself, and he took our sin upon himself. He knows what it is to suffer, and he identifies with us in our suffering. Hebrews 5:8 says that Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered, and that he is the author and perfecter of our faith. When we recognize and remember his sufferings on our behalf, we also remember that it is through his suffering that we find healing and forgiveness. By his wounds, we are healed. Isaiah 53. The suffering that should have been ours became his, and he became broken so we could be made whole. When we sit there and look at the bread that we are eating together, we remember that his broken body is where we find redemption. It is where we find forgiveness and mercy. It reminds us of our restoration in him. He suffered and died so we could be brought back to him. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." And why did he do this for us? In a parable that Jesus told in the Gospels, a shepherd once had 100 sheep. One of those sheep got lost and went away, and then the shepherd left the 99 that were there and went searching for that one lost sheep. When he found it, he put it on his shoulders, carried it home, and rejoiced. The shepherd went looking for that one sheep because he loved that sheep. God has redeemed us through Jesus because he loves us. He loves us with a perfect love. Only with perfect love can one love their enemies. Only with perfect love can someone love someone who has rebelled against them and turned away. But God's love for us is perfect because he loved us while we were still sinners and sent Jesus to die for us. And perfect love drives out fear. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, it says in John 3. Jesus reveals his perfect love for us in his redemption, and he reveals his redemption to us as we break bread together. So, just like Jesus revealed himself to the disciples in the breaking of the bread, he reveals himself to us as well. He reveals himself to us through his presence, and he reveals himself through his redemption. And the final thing that I'd like to remind us of this morning as we think about how Jesus reveals himself to us as we celebrate communion and break bread together is that he reveals himself to us through his body, the church. When Jesus broke bread, it was never alone. It was always with the disciples, with others. And once the disciples on the road recognized Jesus, what did they do? They immediately wanted to share their experience with the other disciples. So they went to Jerusalem and they found the other disciples gathered together and told them about what they experienced and that the news about Jesus was true. When we break bread together, Jesus reveals himself to us through his body, the church, and we are reminded that we are part of something much bigger than ourselves. We are members of the body of Christ, We are his hands and feet in the world. We all have different gifts and different abilities, but we are all members of one another. As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. When one part of the body is hurting, the whole body hurts. If you have a part of your body that's hurting, you know it doesn't just affect that part, it affects the whole part. If you have a broken finger, it's hard to write or do things with your hand, not just that one finger. So in the same way, when one part of the body of Christ is hurting, the whole body hurts. When one part is not functioning as it should, it affects the whole, not just the part. In the same way, when we do not care for one another, or when we are not patient with one another or forgiving towards one another, it affects the whole body. We are to care for one another, carry each other's burdens. We are to forgive one another, to show mercy, to show compassion. We are to be patient with one another and bear with each other. Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. When we think of needing to be patient and needing to bear through something, our first thoughts are not, oh, that sounds fun. We think whenever we have to be patient or bear through something, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Most of us would like to go through our days in ease and comfort without having to think about, being patient and bearing with each other. Excuse me. However, without patience and without bearing with each other, it would be the breakdown of relationships. It would be the breakdown of families. Being patient and bearing with others is necessary for relationships to grow deep roots and to produce good fruit. If you think of our families, sometimes we have to be patient and bear with each other as much as we love them. For example, in our house, when bath time and bedtime are approaching, I know that I am going to need to be patient, and I am going to need God-given abilities to bear through it. And if I don't, it's not going to be good for anybody. But if I can learn to be patient, if I can learn to bear with it, it's better for everyone involved. It contributes to the flourishing of the family. And if we are unwilling to be patient, if we are unwilling to bear with each other, it will be the breakdown of our family. And it's the same with the relationships in the body of Christ. If we are unwilling to be patient and bear with one another, it will hurt the whole body. Friendships and relationships should not be easily broken. Yes, there are seasons for everything, and there are times where friendships and relationships may end, but we should be committed to showing each other forgiveness and patience, understanding that we are all guilty and know better than anyone else. We all have good days, we all have bad days. And we are to take the redemption that we have received from Jesus and act it out towards each other. And as we do this, Jesus' presence is revealed through his body, working together, being built up in love. The church, the body of Christ, is being made into a dwelling place where God lives by his Spirit, until the day when Jesus unites all things in heaven and on earth under him, making all things new and wiping away every tear from our eyes. This we recognize and remember in the breaking of bread. Jesus reveals himself to us in his body, the church. And now as we enter a time of communion together, let us let this be a time where we can slow down and we can remember and we can recognize Jesus through his presence, through his redemption, and through his body. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you so much for this time where we can come together and have communion together to remember you. We thank you for the ways that you reveal yourself to us as we do this. Lord, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us through your presence, through your redemption, through your body. Lord, that you would fill us with your grace, and that you would deepen our trust in you and our faith in you, our love for you, and our love for one another. And we ask this in Jesus' name.